Good morning. Welcome, everybody. So glad you're here. Once again, happy Father's Day to all you dads. Let me just say a little bit about fatherhood. Society, you know, the spirit of the world tries to say that we're really not necessary, except for one thing. And other than that, just not necessary. But the spirit of the world is a lie, right? The devil is a lie. I'll tell you two things quickly that fathers do. Fathers teach young boys how to be men. And there's a lack of that in our society today, amen? There's a lot of confusion in our society today. Gender confusion, I call it. You know, I call it, I'm being nice. This is what I say in the pulpit. I say other stuff outside the pulpit. But it's just ridiculous. But I'm telling you, when a father will raise that boy, not like Hollywood says, but like the Word of God says, then he knows what manhood is all about. How to treat a lady, for instance. Amen? How to treat women in his life. And also the dad has an integral role in the daughter's life, because that daughter will learn to trust men in her daddy's arms. Amen? And if ladies, if you didn't grow up with a dad, you had to overcome that. You know, and children were not meant to have to overcome all these things. They were meant to be raised by a mama and a daddy in a Christian home. Amen? Amen. So, guys, keep up the good work. We need to pray for each other and encourage one another. Ladies, you guys are amazing encouragers to us. Thank you for doing that. Guys, I don't want to take up a lot of Carla's time. She told me not to take up a lot of her time. So I'm going to kind of get right to it. We relaunched the church, I guess, 7 years ago. And I had not realized that she had not spoken all the time that we had relaunched. My wife is a very anointed woman of God. She's a very accomplished communicator. In fact, she does it for a living. She's a teacher, but she's also more than that. She can bring truth of the Word of God in a very powerful way. So she did speak at the old location a number of times, but I just felt like the Lord dropped this in my heart the other day. We were planning the calendar for what's coming up, and I felt like the Lord said, you need to ask Carla to bring this Father's Day message. So, guys, if you will go ahead and stand in honor of my wife, the mother of my children, and the first lady of this house. Y'all welcome, Carla.
I'm really excited to be here. God is so good, and I know that praise was really for him, because I know your hearts. I'm excited. It's been a while since I've done this, but I like bringing the Father's Day message because I have such a passion for families. And I think I have some things to share that will help our families be stronger. Now, a couple ground rules here. We are focusing on the ladies because you're hearing my point of view today, all right? But gentlemen, you are not allowed to throw elbows, okay, if you like something that I say. But before we get started, I want to tell you a little story about Miss Skeeter. Y'all know Miss Skeeter. We all love Miss Skeeter. Well, Miss Skeeter's single. And a few weeks ago, we were having a throwback service, and we were going to sing a whole bunch of hymns. And Lewis had an idea. You know, we're trying to get ready to build this new building and everything. And he said, well, whoever gives a $1,000 donation can pick the next three hymns. And we were all shocked. Miss Skeeter jumped up and went to the front of the church, and she said, Pastor, here's my donation, and I'll take him and him and him. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But sometimes before we get in a serious relationship, we're kind of like Miss Skeeter. We're like, I'll take him. Yes, Lord, I'll take him. And then somewhere along the way, we stop talking to God about him, and we start a battle, and it becomes a Game of Thrones. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The Lord dropped this title for this sermon in my spirit about 6 months ago, long before I knew I would be preaching. And I thought maybe it was for one of the other pastors to use or whatever. And then when they asked me to speak, I thought, this is it. This is it, because there is definitely a Game of Thrones that goes on in homes all across America every day. Now, as I was doing the research, I had to look up that show because I don't watch that show. But there are only about three important things you need to know about it. First of all, in the first season, the king had a trophy wife. That sounds like us, right, ladies? Come on, you can laugh at that. You're their trophy wife. Also, there's a lot of violence in that show. There's always a battle going on as to who is going to be in control of the seven kingdoms. And the most important thing is that it ended. The show ended just this year. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could end the battle for the throne in our homes all over the nation? The scripture that I want you to keep in mind as I'm talking today is 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood or the family of believers, fear God, and honor the king. And so I want to take just a minute to honor the men here. Our society, all my growing up years, has been all about bashing men. And as the women's lib movement has gotten stronger and all of that, it seems the only tactic they knew was to make us stronger, we've got to bash men. And that's not right. That is not God's way. And that's not the way I want to do it, for sure. So I just want to honor all the men and thank you for what you do. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you that you're consistent and you do all the things that you do. And I want to honor my king of my home right here. And baby, I just want to say to you, the thing I have admired about you for 31 years is that you always try to get better. I've watched you be a better husband, a better father, a better pastor, a better person year after year. And that inspires me. And thank you for that. Got my little rag up here. All right, let's jump into this. It may sound strange to talk about Game of Thrones on Father's Day because it is such a violent show. But we have to decide, do we want to keep our homes in turmoil because we are battling for authority? Or do we want to decide today to do it God's way? And God's way is a king and a queen united. See, that's the power. That's the power of it. And I'm going to show you that that's how God says he wants it to be done. A few weeks ago, I was at a graduation program, and some of us were standing in the back because it was all full and everything, and some ladies came in, and one lady looked around, and she saw men sitting in the bleachers, and she kind of looked at me, and she said, chivalry is dead. And I said, yes, and I think we ladies killed it. Have you ever thought about that? I've actually seen women scold men for holding a door or offering to carry something. Now, I don't think it happens quite as much in the South, but I have seen it happen. I can do it. They sound like our two-year-old granddaughter. By myself. We know you can do it. Just because he's holding a door or carrying something for you doesn't mean that you're helpless. It means he's being kind. Don't hear the lie of the enemy when God is trying to bless you, okay? women will often say, I can do it. I'm not helpless. I'm not an invalid. Yeah, we know that. We know that. But if we want to be treated like ladies, we've got to treat men like men. And we've got to learn how to do that because for 30 or 40 years, society has been lying to us. So we teach men to be unkind by scolding them when they do something nice for us, and then we scold them for not being more thoughtful. Poor things. We've put them in a no-win situation. Guys, we're really sorry. We're going to get better at doing that. Well, you know, I've heard women say, well, I'm not going to let some man walk all over me. Well, if we're all doing it God's way, nobody's walking over anybody. right? You better know I will step out of the way to let Lewis Johnson open a door for me. But I had to learn to do that. I didn't know. One day my sister and I were talking, and she talked about how when she would go on a date, she would pretend to look through her purse for something to give him time to go around to the other side and get the door. And I thought, that is brilliant. Why haven't you told me that before? But it's kind of this little dance that we've learned to do over the years. And now if I reach for the car door, most of the time Lewis will say, I'll get that. So I'll move out of the way, and he'll open the door while he goes around to the other side. What do? I reach over and pull the seat back for him or flip the door open for him. Why? Because we're serving each other, and that's how God intended it to be. All right, so let's look at this Game of Thrones in your notes there. The first one, we need to realize, first of all, it is not a game. Marriage is not a game. We are not playing house. When I was a child, my friends and I loved to play house. And we even, at one time, we had an elaborate system of a little housing project, I'll call it, in the woods behind our house where we raked up pine straw and we all made our little dream home made out of the pine straw. And we would play for hours out there. But you know what? If we got bored with it, and we didn't go out there for a few days or a week or a month or more, nobody got hurt. Nobody went hungry. Nobody was neglected because we were just playing house. But we have too many people playing house in America. And don't play house unless you're ready to commit the rest of your life to that person. Please don't get married. And don't pretend that you're married. See, God knows in His wisdom, He made some things for after the commitment is made. And when you play house, when you're not married, you're setting yourself up for hurt and being a casualty of war. You know, God knows that when you get married, it's for the purpose of building the next generation, right? Procreation, building that next generation. And if you play house before there's a commitment, then you're endangering that whole process. We used to tell our kids when they were dating, if your relationship stops being good for either one of you, you have to call it off. Now, this is before the commitment's made, guys. Let me make that clear, okay? If you just think it's not a good relationship, call it off before. Because it's not fair to play house and play games with that other person's emotions, all right? Let me tell you this. TV has taught us that you can just jump from one relationship to another without any consequences. And that is a lie. That is absolutely a lie. If I don't feel like it, or if somebody else better comes along or whatever, I can just jump to a new relationship because it's all a game anyway. Or I can just quit the game if I want to. Nope. God doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see it that way. And can I just tell you, the enemy will always try to make you think that somebody better is coming along, okay? Not if you grow your garden, right, like you're supposed to. So let me just say this to you, a little challenge. If all you want is companionship, please get a puppy. If you're looking for someone to cook and clean, hire a maid. And if you're too scared to live alone, get an alarm system. But please don't get married. Matthew 19, 4 through 6, I put all of that in your notes, but I'm just going to focus on one short little part. Verse 5 says, "This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are what? United into one." A husband and a wife are supposed to be united. If we have a little graphic here, have you ever noticed that the words united and untied are the same letters, just in a different order? So what I want you to realize is that if I get out of order, we come untied. Now, I'm not talking to just the ladies, gentlemen, Because this works in any organization that you're in, whether it's your marriage, whether it's work, whether it's a civic group. If there's an authority structure in the organization, then we all need to stay in the right place, right? So everybody say this: if I get out of order, we come untied. You guys are not doing it. These guys are with me, but y'all are just so quiet over here. That's all right. The second thing I see about this Game of Thrones is that marriage should not be a battle for authority. And our world doesn't like to talk about this because they misunderstand God's heart in this. And I want to try to explain it to you. Most of the scriptures today are coming out of 1 Peter 3. And in that section, Peter is teaching them how families should be, but also how we can be a witness. Our lives can be a testimony, and how we should live and treat others. All right? So he says, in that same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. Well, it says, if some refuse to obey the good news. Who is some? That might be some husbands. Maybe you got saved after y'all got married, and you love this man. You're not wanting to get out of this marriage, but he needs to be saved. And so when you submit to his authority, it draws him to Jesus. But that some could also be your neighbors, your coworkers, the people that you run into at Walmart or Publix, and they're watching you. And your life can be a testimony to Jesus, all right? Then down in verse 5, it says, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Now, ladies, we're always looking for a good beauty treatment, aren't we? Well, this is God's beauty plan right here. It sounds strange, but it says putting... They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. That's how we become beautiful. I think that's your next blanks, by putting your trust in God and accepting the authority of your husbands. That makes women attractive. Do we have the next slide? I may have gotten y'all out of order. I'm sorry about that. But I call this nagging Deborah and beautiful Deborah. Y'all know... Everybody loves Raymond, right? Well, I don't know how well you can see this, but she does not look very attractive in those pictures on the left, does she? But she looks so pretty on the right. I don't think we understand sometimes how unattractive it makes us look when we are not in the right frame of mind. You know, we're trying to make this man better. If he would just listen to me, da-da-da-da, and we lose our beauty, don't we? We don't want to do that. I know when you were first dating, you let him be in control. Sweetie, where do you want to go out to dinner? Oh, it doesn't matter to me. Anywhere you want to go. Why? Because somewhere in the back of our mind, we knew that letting him be in control made us look more attractive. Now, please hear my heart. If you know me, you know that I am not just a be quiet and sit down kind of person. I have a voice. I have an opinion. I just want to give those things in a way that my husband still finds me attractive. Okay? All right. Women have known for years that if you really want something done, you have to make him think what? It's his idea, right? Well, I got a revelation for you, ladies. I think men do the same thing. They let us think it's our idea sometimes, too. We just blab the secret all the time, right? But why is that? Because human beings don't want to be made to do things. We want to be influenced and inspired. So if we as wives can learn to inspire our husbands and influence them, we'll get a lot more done, won't we? I don't have a problem being second in command of the kingdom of Johnson. If you want to know the truth, I don't like to make decisions. I am not a decision maker. Now, I can give you really good advice, okay, because I ask questions. Early in our marriage, all of my questions drove Lewis crazy. He didn't want to hear all my questions. But that's my way of thinking, helping think the process through and thinking through the whole situation so that then we can make a good decision. We got a king and we've got a queen, and they both have a good role. What is my role? It's encourage, advise, help, plan, remind. Oh, he loves it when I remind him. No, he really does. He really does. He calls me the cruise director because I keep up of all the places we're going and all the things that we're going to do, because I tend to be better at that than he is. My role is not to criticize or say I told you so, or to undermine or hide things from him. That is not my role. I think some of the most dangerous words you can say in a relationship is I told you so. If I'm trusting him to make a decision, and I've given my opinion, I've advised, I've asked the questions, and I've left the decision up to him, it is not fair for me to come back and say, well, I told you. Does it do any good? Not a bit in the world. Because it just says, he knows if something didn't go well. He doesn't need me to tell him that, right? So my job is to say, man, babe, it didn't work out for us this time, but we're going to get it next time. You know, I want to try to keep him encouraged. It's not a Game of Thrones. And my king has learned that his trophy wife gives some pretty good advice. Isn't that right, babe? All right. The next thing that I see is that senseless war brings innocent casualties. Innocent casualties. Continuing in 1 Peter 3, it says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. See, we think if we honor our husbands, we're just going to be out of luck. Nope. God tells them they have to honor us too. All right? Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Now, a lot of times people who think they know the Bible think what a woman's role is supposed to be in a family, but they never talk about this part, okay? We are to honor each other, equal partners in this new gift of life, a king and a queen. See, the world wants you to think there's a king and everybody else is servants. No, there's a king and a queen and a royal family, and we all need to be acting like the royalty that we're called to be. Later on in that passage, it says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Remember, he's talking to the family, but he is also talking to the church, okay, and telling us how we should act. Sympathize with each other. Love each other. Be tenderhearted, humble. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults. Ouch. We know that's how we're supposed to act in public. But how many times do we repay insults and repay evil for evil in our home? Well, he started it, okay, but somebody's got to stop it, okay? And so we need to think about that. Most of the time, who are the casualties of war in a home? The children. Yeah, the children most of the time. How are we supposed to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord if we're constantly fighting over the throne? We can't. If we say we're going to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then we have a responsibility to create peace in our homes, don't we? And we just do it by doing what the Lord, how the Lord said do it. I had a friend years ago, we had friends, and when our children were preschoolers, their children were grown. They were older than we are, and we spent a lot of time hanging out with them and just listening to their advice. And I remember Deborah told me one time that she believes that she created rebellion in their oldest daughter. And I thought, that's a weird thing to say. And she said it happened so subtly she didn't realize what was going on. But when Tabitha was a toddler, and if Bobby corrected her a little harshly, more harshly than she thought he should, she'd say, "Bobby." And she said, with that one word, I started creating a seed of rebellion in our daughter. Because she said, in that little girl's mind, what she heard is, "Daddy's wrong, and I don't have to listen to him." And years later, when Tabitha became a teenager, she did go through a rebellious stage, and guess what? They all became casualties of war. Now, thankfully, it had a happy ending, and, you know, God intervened. But they went through some needless pain that they didn't need to. Ladies, can I just tell you, your husband is not going to discipline the children the way you do, and he's not supposed to. God gave children a mom and a dad to bring balance to their life. Because we need the influence of men and women in our lives. If you disagree with the way your husband disciplines the children, talk to him privately, but don't undermine him. And gentlemen, you need to do the same thing, okay? Don't undermine that parental authority in front of your children. Think about this, ladies. People don't say this. You may do just as much harm to your children by over-nurturing and bailing them out as your husband does with a harsh word. We cannot be in control of everything and have it work out the way it should. Allow your husbands to make your children strong. Kings raise up warriors. And you want him to help you raise warriors, all right? 1 Peter 3, continuing on in that passage, Peter is actually quoting Psalm 34 in the context of families. He says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. And on down he says, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Wow. We want God's face of blessing turned toward us, don't we? Okay? So in order to have that, we need to keep our tongues from evil and keep from telling lies, don't we? The second casualty of war is parents. I think I skipped that blank. Parents are the second casualty of war. And, you know, when you're in a battle, when you're at war, and there becomes division and hurt, and it happens to the children, and it can happen to the parents. You don't want to be in a marriage where there is no unity, where there's fighting and then what? Separation. You can be in the same home and still be separated, can't you, emotionally? So I want to encourage you, if you have been a casualty of war in your home, I'd love for you to check out our small group called Detox Your Brain. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a Christian neuroscientist, and she is really good at helping us get our toxic thoughts out, okay? And sometimes life happens to us, and we get toxic thoughts in there, and she biblically shows us how to do this. So you can go to thevinetroy.com, click on our small groups tab, and we can get you connected. But the big thing I want you to know is there is hope. There is hope. The next casualty of war in a war-torn home are future generations. Future generations. We don't think about that because when we're in the battle, when we're in the middle of the war, it feels like it's all about me, okay? I'm miserable. I'm hurt. I need God to come through. But it's also the future generations. Numbers 14:18 said, The Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion, but he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. Now, let me remind you, this is the old covenant. Jesus changed this. Praise God. But see, we have to choose if we want to live under the old covenant or if we want to accept Jesus and live under the new covenant and his way of doing things for us. You know, even the world recognizes that that verse is true. We all know alcoholics who have raised children to become alcoholics. Children in an abusive family who have grown up to become abusive, right? So we know that principle is true, but we can choose the new covenant, and that is the good news there. Number four, God has a plan of protection for our kingdom. So we are a king and a queen united, and when we stay there, God has a plan of protection. I love Psalm 91:1. He says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, a couple of years ago, I was meditating on this verse, and I thought, Lord, you just said the same thing twice. What's the difference between the Most High and the Almighty? And he immediately spoke to my heart that it's like a home. Who is the Most High in your home? When I was growing up, that was my pop, okay? He makes the rules, right? And if you live in Daddy's house, you're going to live by what? Daddy's rules. In by 12, out by 18, right? But then the Almighty is the powerful one. But that's God too. You see, if we choose to live in God's house by his rules, we get to enjoy his protection. We get to rest in his protection. So look at it this way. I'm living in God's house. I'm living in the Father's house. And I can sleep at night in his shadow. If I'm in his shadow, he's nearby, right? He is protecting me. That's a beautiful picture to me. So if we want our homes, we want the protection of God on our homes, we need to live in the shelter of the Most High. We can do that. So to back where we started, we need to honor all people, love the brotherhood or the family of believers, fear God, and honor the King. Honor the King. As we close, we have to first deal with the question of who sits on the throne of your heart. Okay? Let's bow our heads, and if you don't have to move around, we ask that you please don't. Who's on the throne of your heart? Is it you? Maybe you've never given your life to Christ, or you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, but you're just having trouble making him your Lord, giving him kingship of your life. I can tell you this, we do not have the power within us to make our homes all that they should be until we settle lordship of our heart. The next question I want you to ask is, who sits on the throne of your home? Maybe you're a husband who hasn't taken responsibility for leading your home. You let your wife do it. You haven't been the king you should be, but now you want to lead with love and honor. Maybe you're a wife who didn't understand her role, and you want to make that right today. Maybe you're single, and you're praying for your king or your queen, and you haven't chosen wisely in the past, and you desire to get back on the right track. Or perhaps you aren't even married, but you haven't honored the authority God has placed in your life right now. And he's speaking to you about that. Whatever the case, God wants to meet you right here and make your home a reflection of his kingdom. If you want to make a decision for Christ for the first time today and follow Him as Lord and King of your life, or if you've gotten away from God and you want to recommit to Him, we ask you to just please raise your hand and let us know about your decision. Our prayer team wants to pray over you. Thank you. Let's all pray this prayer together and help them out. If you're making a decision for Christ today, just mean it with all of your heart. But I do want to ask before we pray the prayer, if you would please, if you made a decision about your home, would you mind just raising your hand and just making that little commitment to Christ? Awesome. Thank you. Let's pray this prayer together. If you would, just repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I admit I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. His name is Jesus. I believe you lived a perfect life. You died on the cross. They buried you. And you rose again 3 days later just for me. I give you my life and the throne of my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me back to you on this great day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you prayed that prayer, we believe you got saved, and we'll be praying for you as you take your next step for Him. You can just remain seated, but let's give God some praise right now as Hector comes up to lead us through the rest of the service.